Thank you so much. This is such an honor to speak at EQIP, and I have to tell you, I'm just so excited to move forward today with this workshop. And I'm going to tell you, as I said kind of at the beginning, this has very little to do with me. You know, how God works in such amazing ways. I'm just going to come to you humbly and say, I was pretty sure there would be two people here, and I was counting my husband Justin as one of them. So, you know, so when I see this room full of people, I think either God has brought you here to encourage me, so thank you if that is the case, or God has brought you here because everything I'm going to tell you, nothing I say will be earth-shattering, but everything I say will hopefully, Holy Spirit willing, be the truth. And I have learned over and over that what I need more than anything is for someone just to sit and fill my head and my heart with truth. Because we live in a world where we were inundated with the lies of the world, and before you know it, we just kind of like forget the human mind, right? We just forget, and I just need this re-emphasized. So today, I want you to come into this not thinking, wow, I hope she's got something new to tell me about fighting words and how to win all my arguments. I mean, right? And I kind of laugh because, you know, I'm sorry, I'm talking too fast. The court reporter tells me that. Slow down.
You're fine.
Okay. Being an attorney, I'm not normally introduced as an attorney. That is my other life, Steinle Law. And we live out in rural Minnesota. We're in south central Minnesota. If you're heading to Sioux Falls, we're like right in the middle between the Twin Cities and Sioux Falls. And I used to practice in the Twin Cities as a litigator who'd go to court and I would fight. And then through a series of plot twists in my life, we ended up back in my hometown. We live right now like by Butterfield, Minnesota. Again, that's just very, very rural. And I go to Center Point Church in Mountain Lake, Minnesota. And so, through being there and just it'll come up later, but I grew up Mennonite, you know, pacifist people, right? And so the Holy Spirit in the church that I was in, the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues was just such a crazy idea, right? And so when I was Spirit-filled after coming back to live and wow, okay, right? That's right, wow. And so, you know, so I have a lot of like, because I did not grow up Pentecostal, I have a couple of Pentecostal jokes, right? I like to throw, because it's a whole new thing for me. For some of you who are raised in it, you're like, yeah, whatever, we own, right? But I'm like, well, this is new. And so anyway, part of this, just being in the Spirit and experiencing that more, I felt the call to go to MnSOM. And so MnSOM is the program that we have. I'm sure you maybe have heard about it through your time here or since being here, that it's for people who are maybe working or have something else going on. We do classes once a month, and then in theory, I will be credentialed and walking next year. And so I don't know yet. God hasn't given me like the clear like download of how law and like my joking, the ministry of grace, how those two things go together, but he is a good God. And so I'm excited to see what happens there. But when I was coming into Fighting Words and I saw, you know, how they said, oh, Pam is a lawyer, I thought, oh, people are going to come here and they're going to think, oh, she's going to know all these like lawyer fighting tactics, right? And so I had like some deep thoughts about that. Like, do I? And it's true. I used to be a person who went to court. And now I'm a person who works with families who either they're planning on dying and they would like to get things set up, or somebody has already passed. And that has been a really that conference room has been a really intimate place. And as a side note, I'll just tell you that that's been a place where I have had boldness, and the Holy Spirit said, I think you should invite these people to see if you could pray for them. And I got to tell you, when I pray for people in that conference room, more times than not, somebody is crying, and it's usually not me alone, right? So talking about decisions, talking about conflict, talking about end of life, I do kind of see conflict on a pretty regular basis. And so, again, I think this is something that is generally applicable. So even if you don't know why you're here, but you're here, thank you. And I'm just excited to run through this with you. All right. So being a lawyer, I'm very type A, so I have my list of things that I want to accomplish today, right? I want you to help you identify your natural conflict habits. Sometimes we don't know what we don't know, and we think that everyone is like us. And I know I know, we know the right words to say. The right words to say are, you know, I don't know how you feel, but deep inside, we kind of do, right? But I'm here to tell you that there are kind of some distinctive ways that you can see this. And I would also remind people that learning about these conflict habits is not quite like the Enneagram or a personality Myers-Briggs test. It's not like you're going to use this to analyze all the people around you. It's for the Holy Spirit to say, here's where you tend to, this is where you're more prone to sin. This is where you're going to be more vulnerable. And so you got to have, that's why it's important to know this, because it's going to help you to stay on the right path. Okay? Second, we want to apply godly conflict resolution principles to current and future conflicts. I mean, darn it, it'd be so easy to live at peace if we didn't have to live with other people who want to do their own things. I mean, I don't get it. Like, how many of you, like, have children, right? Talk about a conflict in a bag, right? I mean, seriously. Even some of this has been so helpful for God to work in my heart about my conflict style and then also engaging with my children in ways to encourage them to be healthy. It's been helpful. And finally, I want to remind everyone that my burden here is that what the world sees all the time is conflict and fighting. We live in divisive times. I feel like, fact. Is there anyone here who wants to refute that we do not live in divisive times? All right, so we all agree. We live in divisive times, and the fact of the matter is the world just thinks that's normal. So when we come together as a church and we prioritize unity under Christ, mutual submission, and I know you all are thinking, yeah, but that, and I'm going to try to address some of your concerns. But if we can kind of say, yep, you know what, if the world saw us loving one another in a way that was so countercultural, wouldn't that be something revolutionary? Wouldn't that be something to say we do follow Jesus Christ? Right. So that's where my burden comes from, because I have seen that it is absolutely not normal and it's absolutely countercultural, what I'm going to talk to you today. But we got to remember who the true enemy is, right? Who is the true enemy? It's not that person who spew and junk at you. It's not that angry client. It's not that very, you know, hurt relative of yours. The enemy lives, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy.
Amen.
Right. So let's go. Let's get going here today. All right. I love this quote. So I'm in Min Sam, and I took a class, Making Peace, and it's by this guy, Jim Van Iperen, and he has, like, if you go on the podcast, you put his name in, you can listen to him talk, and he's actually winding down his ministry, but there are a couple of these books left, and it was so good. I love his perspective because it talks about how God wants us to be formed by the Word, of course. Mm-hmm. God wants us to be formed by the Holy Spirit. Yes, check. God intended us for us to be formed by the church, which is other people. I was like, what? But it made sense, right? Just like we said, the monks who go off and follow Jesus in the, you know, deep forest in isolation, yeah, it's easy for them to keep their right inner. But once you come back and you got to try and, like, figure out where you're going to go out for supper with, like, your friends, right? Conflict, right? And how you're going to split the check, oh my word, right? Yeah, friends, you know it. You know it to be true. Even the easy parts of life are full of some amount of minor conflict. I think if you thought about it, how much actual conflict we experience in a day that we don't even register, right? You begin to see why for some people who are do not want to engage in conflict, that can be so wearing. Yeah, I have this, I mean, could it be that people who are introverts are actually just people who really just don't want to have conflict? And I mean, ponder, right? Consider. All right, so all conflict is complex. And if you have an issue in your church, or if you have an issue with other believers, and you think you can simplify it and say their position in 10 words or less, you have oversimplified it. That's just not how conflict works. That is just not how conflict works. All right. Oh, technology, let's be friends, come on. Okay. All right. So now you're gonna watch me do something very fancy that we've been practicing several times since we got here. There we go. Come on. Oh, Jesus, help.
Hit the home button again.
Okay. No, it's just upset with us now. It wants to do nothing. All right.
Rich says you should just call yourself a 12-year-old.
I know, seriously. Okay. Well, now I would like to get my computer back, though. Mysterious person in the back, can you work on getting the laptop back up while I try and... Thank you. All right. Did you figure it out? Great.
So you try to play your phone?
I will play it. Here we go. So where is my picture, though? No, I wanted the picture to be on. No, just go back. Go back to that. Now you're going to watch me conflict with my husband. Hold on. And a high... Yeah. I know, but I want it to be a slide that's showing me pictures, and it is not. Okay. If you have your handout, would you go to slide number 5? Okay. You see how there's a series of words on that page. They're not easy to read, but maybe you have better eyesight than me. It says, rotating pirate ship, Bart Simpson bouncing. That isn't mercy. Lobsters in motion. I'm chasing Martian. That is embarrassing. That isn't my receipt, okay? Lactation in pharmacy. All right, it's a variety of phrases. I'm going to play. Spoiler alert, right? I'm going to play. We're all going to listen very quietly, and you tell me what phrase they're singing. Look on your sheet. Right, and then look at a different word. Right, look at a different, I'll do it one more time here. Oh no. If you look at a different one, no, it's singing singing a different phrase. It's the mystery. That's such a good question. Yes. Right. There is no answer, and I love it. Those of you who are black and white people, you're like, but they were saying something, and I haven't been able to, nor have I been able to find out the actual answer. This is an illustration of we hear what we want to hear. You see the words, and your brain said, oh, that's what you're hearing, right? We hear what we want to hear. Now, this is Pam opinion. This is Pam creativity. This is definitely not an important part of this presentation. But you know, I ponder like when I think about Babel, right? And part of that making it so that our language was confused and you can't. Maybe what we just experienced is part of the Babel piece, right? That we just are unable to communicate as clearly as we think we can. And when you can get that into your heart, that truth. That you might be doing everything you can to communicate, but you cannot control the person who is receiving your message. That just makes communication take twice as long. Yes, it does, right? But that, I think that is there because we just don't know what that other person is hearing. But to go back to this idea of we hear what we want to hear, I think that also comes down to our sinful hearts, right? 1 Timothy 4:3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And just to further, you know, I feel like you're my jury, to further support my arguments, jury, I'm going to go to the Bible. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 4, 3 through 5. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking to the people who are having some conflict. They are saying, you know, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. You say, what are you doing, you guys? What are you doing, church? Come on. We got to come under some unity here. What is this conflict all about? And I love what he says here, 1 Corinthians 4, 3 through 5. He says, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, because before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. I think when I saw this illustration of how we can think we know what we hear, but maybe we really didn't. Maybe it was about Bart Simpson and it was about pharmacies. But our heart is good. Paul said, look, I don't know. I don't know that I have done wrong, but I can't judge that. Only God can, and he judges the heart. And so that has brought a word that has been so encouraging to me, because I always want to be right. I don't know if you're like me, but you want to be right. And God doesn't call us to be right. He calls us to be faithful. He calls us to be faithful, because at the end of the day, all we can say is, I've searched the Lord, right? I've searched, Lord, show me the way. I've been listening to him, and I got to move forward. And I don't know if it's right, because who's the only one who can tell us if it's right? God, right? But how often do I listen to public opinion and I look to see if people are happy or upset with me? Are they applauding me? Am I getting bad reviews? What's happening, right? And I know I'm not alone. And that's why we need each other to sit here and say, in truth, it only matters what God thinks of us. God will judge us. And if we don't have to be right, and sure, we should try and be careful with being right, of course. We should try and be careful with it. But I don't want to, sometimes we get so stuck in, am I right or are you right or how are you wrong? And God says, come to me in faithfulness. Have a faithful heart. And we're going to talk about sometimes God really doesn't care if you're right. He wants to know how you love that other person. All right, let's get ready to rumble, right? Now, this could be a little triggering for some of you, all right? And I say that jokingly, right? But some of the things I'm going to talk about that could be creating some disunity, maybe things that you're going to instantly feel defensive about. You're going to say, oh, someone accused me of that, and that wasn't my heart. Don't worry, I don't know. When I put this together, I had none of you in mind, right? This is just going through some things that are examples that we can kind of apply to life, because we don't want things to be so abstract, right, that we can't apply it to our daily life. So that's the idea behind this. All right. Fighting our neighbors. Now, I want to say that people say to me, well, what do you do when you are going to obviously be in conflict with people who are not Christians, right? They're right. And that is true. I want to just make sure I limit the scope here to say, look, I can't tell you how we can make peace if someone says, Jesus is not Lord. Right, we're going to live in conflict with that. I mean, that is true. But in the church where we all agree Jesus is Lord, right, how can we live in unity? How can we be peacemakers as we are commanded to do? And you know what? Peace doesn't just happen. We cannot be passive. We've got to make peace. We have to do something. And that's one of the biggest things the Lord has kind of downloaded on me, is that a lot of people think that if I disengage from it, then peace will happen, or I'm not responsible. The Lord says we are to be peacemakers, right? So we do have some obligation not to stick our nose in where it doesn't belong, but to be prayerfully concerned about peace. All right. So what does fighting our neighbors look like? What does it look like when in our church we see things that are just helping divisiveness, where the devil is able to get a foothold in places we don't want him to have a foothold? When you quote scripture to prove how we are right and the other is wrong. Yeah. You know, when I wanted to do this topic, it came out in the fall of last year, and I was having some personal conflict, and the Lord just really ministered to me in a powerful way. And so I knew this was a topic I was going to work on. And then we went through January, which seemed to be, I don't know, kind of a divisive time for us here in Minnesota, you may recall. And boy, you went on the internet, and everybody had an opinion, and God was on their side, let me tell you. And they quoted and told you all the ways that God was on their side. And I would just say, you know, the scripture is powerful, 100%. But again, it's our hearts. The scripture was meant to say, hey, repent to the Lord Jesus because he loves you and he wants you to come into heaven. It wasn't to beat people over the head and say, how dare you act against, you know, God politically. Jesus wasn't too concerned about that, was he? Culture. My cultural beliefs and practices and values dictate my faith. That one's like a little meta. Those are some things that you may have that you're not even aware of. And I would just say prayerfully, ask the Lord, expose to me, Lord, how this is really not about you and what you've said in the Bible, but it's about how I was raised, about just American values, or and they're not going to have to be bad, right? We have some good values in this country, but that doesn't mean that they are the same as the values that Jesus grew up with as a Jewish young man. And that might not make them bad, but we should be aware of them, right? And they should not dictate our faith. Right? Jesus dictates our faith. It all is submitted to him, right? Online, and I kind of hinted at this already, posting or reposting divisive communications. Again, we think that we can communicate out and everybody will know exactly how we feel. Some of you, I think, do it with a kind heart. Your heart is kind and you post something hoping that everyone kind of gets what you, but you know what? I have never seen an opinion changed because of a post on Facebook. I have never seen a friendship strengthened, right? Or anything. And what good happens from posting something that's really divisive? Now, there are examples of things that can address the social times that we live in a way that's God-honoring, and I will, you know, touch on that. And it's harder to find, right? So generally, I would say before you post things having to do with a current political divisive topic, I would really think it through. You don't have to be the first. If you're in a hurry to post and be the first one to post, that should set up red flags for you, right? All right. Entitlement. Again, this is a little meta. Usually no one is walking around saying, I'm entitled, right? But that doesn't mean we're not acting like that, okay? So my needs are more important than yours. There's this funny thing. Jesus says that, yeah, Jesus had all sorts of rights. He was the king of the universe, all the things. And he was submitted to God the Father and came here on this planet. He submitted. You do have lots of legal rights, 100%. You have a right, you have a freedom of speech. I hear that a lot. Well, I have a freedom of speech too. You're right. But as Christians, God is first, right?
Amen.
And what does our Father say? He would say, so submit to me first. Well, I'm right. And I have a right to, you know, to charge X, Y. I have a right to take them to court. I have a right to find out what the, yeah, you've got all sorts of legal rights. No one's, but that's the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the power of our witness to say, I am totally entitled to that. I sacrifice that because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and I believe that's what he's calling me to do right now. That changes, that's going to change the way that person interacts with you, right? Because it doesn't mean much if you weren't entitled to it and you took it. That's stealing, right? I don't need you or anyone else who disagrees with me. Friends, we've got to be so careful, right? If you're in the echo chamber, you should be concerned. It is hard to disagree with people. But I will tell you, if you can take the time to communicate in love, very few times are people going to respond harshly. I can't promise that. I can't guarantee that because, you know, people. But I can say that I think we assume a lot of things about people that we interact with. Yeah. And there was no one that God said, oh, and except for this group of people, don't talk to them, right? Except for that political party. Just they shouldn't be in our church. The fact of the matter is, I would guess that in all of our churches, we have people on all spectrums of the political divide. And people don't really realize it because they're a little group of friends at one end of the, you know, might all sound the same and their Facebook wall looks the same. And but then on the other side, it's over here and they don't even realize, right, the disunity that they're creating because we can all see each other's things. I know you know that, especially you young kids, you know all the things. But sometimes I look at what people are liking in my church and I think, I wonder if they know I can see that they like that, you know, deep thoughts, right? All right. So we're going to run through the four kinds of, You know, I told you, we're going to talk about the four types of ways that we are naturally inclined to respond to conflict. And the goal, again, one, I can't give you a very, like, in-depth, this is very superficial, and I encourage you that if you feel like one of these, oh yeah, God's saying this is me, look into it. And I tried to find, you know, a summary from the book of, like, this is what it looks like, and here's one of the solutions that the book has for you to, like, go to the Lord and say, help me, restore me in this, help me, Lord, okay? Passive responders, I grew up Mennonite, this is like my life, and I'm not passive, so I was like the Tasmanian devil roaming around, you know, everyone's trying to not have conflict, and I'm trying to talk to everyone, make sure they have conflict with me and discuss things. Passive people, though, all conflict is wrong, and you endure it quietly, right? Why would you bring that up? Don't talk about that. Don't cause trouble, right? If that's what you feel like, if you feel like people are raising things, now, again, comma, you know, the asterisk for the attorney. Yes, I'm sure there is someone out there in your life who really is just stirring the pot trying to cause trouble. But I would try and give them the benefit of the doubt and pray about it first. Because a lot of times the first reaction that we have, oh, this is just them, is a lot of times just our human part. It's not the Holy Spirit saying, you know what, maybe they do have a point here. Maybe there is something that you can pull out to encourage better communication. Passive responders are more interested in keeping themselves from hurt than in reconciling themselves to God's truth. Again, they don't walk around thinking this. This is like a subconscious belief that you have that it just seems so hard. I see this with a lot of clients when they have some conflict. I deal with a lot of farms, right? So if a dad is a farmer and he's got one farming kid and three non-farming kids, right? For the passive person, it's just too painful to get all those kids in a room to talk to him about it. It's just so hard that they're not going to do it, right? I mean, that would just be an example. He's not saying to himself, oh, I'm more interested in keeping myself from hurt. But that is what is happening. You can see that as an objective outside person. These people doubt that God is big enough to redeem, reconcile, and intercede. And it's true, there is no guarantee that there will be no conflict, right? But God doesn't say there will be no conflict. He just says, I'm powerful and I can redeem it, right? When do we get new life? It always happens in darkness, right? I heard that from Catherine Wolfe. She spoke at River Valley. Oh, so good, right? She talked about like seeds, right? New life happens in the ground. It's dark, you know, icky, cold, right? She talked about like in the womb. That's where like baby, you know, and that's a dark, you know, seeming inhospitable place, right? In this, right? New life, the tomb, right? New life, the tomb. So I just think sometimes those things that are so hard, when you're walking through them, that's where God's creating something new, right? But you got to go through the hard. Yeah. All right. So the next people, they're kind of in the same boat as they're the close cousin to passive. They're evasive. They agree all conflict is wrong. Is that my fault? What is happening? Oh. Not today. Not today. All right. All conflict is wrong and it must be avoided. So they're also really not interested in feeling hurt and icky about this. They don't want the discomfort. But they tend to, instead of just sitting there and enduring it, they tend to lead you somewhere else. Okay? They have another idea. They have another issue that they want to talk. If you ask them if anything's wrong, they're going to say no. Right? If you ask a passive person, they might like say yes, but they're not going to talk to you about it. Right? This person says, no, I mean, there's nothing wrong. Everything's fine. But clearly everything is not fine. Defensive responders. I would say this is one where I probably fit into as an attorney. Boy, I really don't want to be wrong. Right? I don't want to be wrong as a person. Okay, yeah. As a human, as Pam Steinle, I don't want to be wrong, right? The Lord has to work in me all the time. Just be faithful, right? Be faithful. Okay. There are times when I want to be right, and I think, well, is it my thing? Well, Lord, am I being truthful if I, like, let this person, you know, think that they've won? And the Lord just says to me, you can speak truth in love. You can speak truth without having to beat them over the head. And I'm like, really? But it's true, apparently. And I have been trying to practice it more. But it is true that we can say to people, you know, I disagree with you, but I still love you. Let's go have coffee. But the part is, you have to mean that, You have to be like, and here, now is a great time for us to go. Here are some opportunities for us, right? Don't just say the words. We have to have the Lord change our heart that we want to do those things. We like to justify ourselves whenever we're being attacked. We want to guard our reputation. So true. You know, we're always so much more prone to sin when we're tired, right? When we're feeling overwhelmed. And just recently, I was in one of those spots, and I had a client who was talking to me, and they were criticizing the work I had done. And in fact, they said that they had this relative of theirs who had gone to a local judge and told them about this thing that I had supposedly done, I just blew up. It was very, very not a good rep for Jesus that day. Praise the Lord. We reconciled and he brought them back and we were able to bring glory to God through it. Praise the Lord. But I'm just saying, as soon as it came to a judge, you know, we just talked about who should be judging you, the Lord. I heard, the judges heard this about me and I was so angry, right? And it just reminds me, Lord, I'm so human. Lord, help me. And I think too, by being able to reconcile with them, again, going through the hard, God can redeem that. God can redeem even that. Even your blow-ups, God can redeem that. All right, and lastly, the aggressive responders. Yes, aggressive responders, they are going to win. And you can argue with them X, Y, and Z, and they will have A, B, C. And sometimes you're going to go in a circle because what they want to hear you say is, you're right, and I'm wrong, and you win, and you're right, and it's hard. Aggressive people are hard. And now, again, when I say making peace, right, I'm not saying that you are going to always have situations of kumbaya, we've reconciled, we come to an agreement to disagree. Even this idea of agree to disagree, the book talks about, can be a destructive concept. But what we're saying is, if someone is aggressive, it's not my job, under Christ, if I hold resentment and unforgiveness towards that aggressive person, that's my problem, right? Because my Lord tells me, we don't do that. We forgive, right? We work through that. Oh, people, right? Living in a world with people. All right. So again, as I look at the clock, I know that I have to kind of give you a very broad overview. And I hope that one of those four, or maybe two out of, maybe more than one, you can kind of see some of this in yourself. I know your temptation is, I see this totally in my spouse. I see this in my coworker. I see this, right? But no. You first, right? Where is this in me? How am I reacting to conflict? What is my natural tendency? All right. So, but Christians fight, right? Doesn't the Bible talk about us fighting, right? And we're fighting for Jesus and fighting for truth? Yes. John 17:23, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. We don't fight like the world fights. We don't fight the people. Sometimes the people are the ones spewing the lies of the devil. They're spewing what the world tells them. That's fact, right? Nothing that I'm saying can change that. That we can't control the other person and what they're going to say or do. And this is the tough part about being a Christian, because apparently the Lord says we're supposed to say, yeah, and I love Jesus more than I want to tell you how wrong you are, right? And I'm going to tell you you're wrong in a loving way. I'm going to, you know, boundaries are good. I think in Minnesota we think, well, if someone is telling me to do something and I say no, then I must be sinning. Okay, that's not true, friends, right? Right? But I'm talking more about situations in the church. For example, churches who can get really caught up in how many hymns are we singing versus modern worship. Okay, right? Good job us. Way to show the world that we can have unity and compromise, right? And people, the really good people out there with good arguments will say, yeah, but isn't it about how we worship? You're not wrong. What I'm saying is that God is calling us generally to really investigate whenever we're in conflict, is this a thing that is the exception? Because the rule is, God says, come into unity, right? When Jesus was in the garden, right? When he was in the garden, one of the last, most passionate things he's praying about happens in John 17, 20 through 26. I know it's long, but I love it, and so I'm going to read it for you. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, right? So he's talking about the disciples, and then he's talking about us. We're going to believe in Jesus, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me, right? The world may believe you have sent me because we are one. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. These are Jesus' words. He wants us to be one. He was praying for it passionately, and he said it a lot. Francis Chan is really funny. He says, if I tell my daughter, go clean your room, and she comes back and says, I memorized what you said, don't clean your room. I can even say it to you in Greek. I can even get a whole bunch of people together and we can talk about what it would be like to clean my room or the strategies to clean my room, right? You'd say, go clean your room, go do the thing, right? It's pretty clear. You know, it's pretty clear. The Bible's pretty clear. We're supposed to be one. That we could maybe make up a lot of reasons why our conflict is the exception and we don't have to be one and be mutually submitted, but chances are it's not the exception. Right? Everyone thinks they are. Fact. And I do love this other verse here. I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. And friends, I don't come to you as someone who's got it figured out. I hope you've heard me say, like, we are all in this together. The Lord is teaching me this every day. I'm walking in this. And I think that when we feel like we can't tell anyone our struggles, like our one or two Christian friends, it's easy to feel like we can't work through this with people in a way that brings like Christian growth and maturity. And so part of what I think my mission is just to show you, like, guys, I'm screwing up all the time, right? But we get to do it together, right? We get to come to these conferences and say, we are all, like, so imperfect, serving a perfect God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that's one of the other things I have a big passion for, is just helping people be authentic. It is okay. It's okay. Oh, okay, good. All right, moving on. All right. So, I like to just show you, you know, you don't want to just teach kids how to do the bad thing. Let's tell you how to do the good thing, right? Okay, so scripture. Let's quote scripture to resist temptation. Let's quote scripture to encourage, to teach. That is the beautiful way that God wants his words to be used. And do it all the time, right? Yeah, make sure that at least like a 10 to 1 for every one scripture you post on the Facebook about something, you know, political. Man, 10 times you better be telling resisting temptation, encouraging and teaching. Use the Bible in a way that brings life, right? Culture. My cultural beliefs, my practice and values are all secondary. We submit it all under Jesus Christ. This world is not my home. Amen. That's what we got to remember. Amen. Tell that to your friends when they're feeling like, oh, this person is driving, this world's not our home, right? We're just here on a short visa, right? We're heading to our eternal home. God has a plan. All right, posting or reposting communications that promote biblical unity, especially in my church. Yes, right? Be sensitive to the fact that the person who's coming to your church, the person who's thinking about visiting your church, they may see your post or see what you like, or they might. And wouldn't it be terrible if someone didn't come to church because of something we posted on the Facebook? Oh, right? Oh, all right. Entitlement, I'm denying myself. I'm taking up my cross. and I'm following Jesus, right? Amen. That is what we do. We deny ourselves. Again, sometimes it just helps you to feel have someone affirm you, and I'm going to affirm it. You have all the rights. Under the world would say you have every right to be mad, upset, resentful, you know, all. But what does God say? He says, do you know how many things I have forgiven on you, my friend?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. And autonomy. I just keep hitting on it because it's one of my big goals. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. When we say, yeah, that person and I, we disagree on pretty much everything except that we both love Jesus, that's still a great testimony, isn't it? Right? Yeah, I don't agree with it. We don't vote the same way. We don't buy the same things from the same stores, but man, we both love Jesus. That is unity. That will change people's opinions of Christians. But it's so hard. But God will help us. He is in it. All right. This is an example of something that I did repost because I felt like it was so good the way that they carefully crafted this, our national AG, about ways to pray back in January when we had a lot of political unrest. I just felt like that they put something together that was not about a side. It was about bringing people in unity and loving all people involved. So just to give you an example, that those were some things that I found to be, you know, if you're someone who just feels like you want to contribute to be a light, I know some people really feel passionate that their social media account is to combat a lot of the darkness we see online. There, it is possible to find things that are, I think, positive and promote Jesus as our Lord. Okay, so we're fighting to destroy these strongholds, friends. We're getting to the end here. You'll recall, I promised you today that you would. We would identify our natural conflict habits, which we've talked about. We're going to apply God's conflict resolution principles to current and future conflicts. And we want to use the sword of the Spirit to fight our true enemy. When we're using the Spirit, right, again, it's hard for me to give you a formula or a recipe. People have been trying to control the Spirit for a very long time, and I will not be, I'm not going to even join that bandwagon. So I can't, Holy Spirit's going to work in amazing ways, and He's going to speak to you as you listen to Him. So the most important thing, I think, for my life is to make sure I take time to listen. Because yeah. Our lives are busy. But if I'm not taking time to listen, then I'm generally just doing what Pam Flesh instinctively reacts to, right? Instead of responding to the call of the Holy Spirit in our life. When you sit and you're pondering and you're letting Jesus download to you, and the Holy Spirit, He's working, it's going to be logs first, right? It's going to be me first. It's everyone. You hear things like this and you think, oh, I know someone who could really benefit from this. I'm going to send that recording to them, you know, forward that, right? No. This is a word for us. This is a word for us. Get rid of the log in our own eye. And once we've worked through it, then we can deal and help other people with the speck in theirs. I found that people said using the Socratic method is very helpful. Socrates was someone who just asked a lot of questions. And so I have a friend that when she's trying to work through conflict with me, her defensive friend, she a lot of times asks me a lot of questions. I'm curious how you felt when you said that. Do you think it's possible that, you know, and she'll say, how can we move forward? Questions are good. I find that it's hard for me to get really offended when she's asking me a genuine question. Right? Again, you can't ask questions like a lawyer. My husband will tell you that I can do that. I start deposing my children, you know? right? So don't be a lawyer about it. But asking questions is a great way as a strategy. If you find that you start attacking people, if you're more aggressive, ask questions first, genuine questions. Identify the goal. Why am I doing this? Right? Why am I saying this? Right? Why am I reacting? When I reflected after I hung up the phone, after that terrible phone call when I was not a very good representative of Jesus, what was that about, Pam? Oh, I think that you're tired. I think that you're a little cranky. I think that you didn't like that they told a judge because you worry more about what that judge thinks. And then I was able to be like, oh yeah, this is a me problem, right? And then I can go back to them and say, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I shouldn't have been like that. I try hard to follow Jesus, and I was way off base. And that provides them an opportunity to say, oh, well, yeah, right? Like, I follow Jesus, too. Like, that didn't go so well, right? That wasn't exactly how it went, but actually, it's close-ish, right? They came, too, and said, I'm sorry that happened. We were able to have a really good resolution of that. So, true peace. Again, the book, if you get the book, it talks a lot about phantom peace. It talks about peace that we like hold, but it's not really peace. It's like peace we say in our head so we can stop dealing with it, but our heart is still weighed down, right? And so just be sensitive to that, that sometimes agreeing to disagree is just, I don't want to deal with it anymore. It's another form of passive or evasive, you know, oh, I've dealt with it. If you don't feel good, you probably haven't dealt with it, right? And that means the Holy Spirit's got some work to do in you yet. And then biblical unity. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. Look, this takes a lot of discernment, okay? At what point is the truth or what you want to say or what you know, at what point is it just this person's not ready to hear it, right? There is timing. I know that's hard for us who are black and white people because we want to know, like, every time I have this thought, then I say it, and then good things happen. But that's just not how it works, right? The Lord talks about the parable of the farmer. The farmer can't just every day go out and throw a bunch of water out or a bunch of fertilizer. It has to be timed, right? And that's that discernment part. And what does discernment mean? It means we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to tell us, okay, is this the time to speak? Is this the time, right? And what happens? I'm a busy person. I don't have a lot of time. And the Lord says, you better slow down. You better slow down, because if you're not taking the time to bring these things to prayer and to be listening to the Lord, then this isn't going to go great. And sometimes I think that's the way that the devil has gotten us the most, is he makes us so busy. We are so busy that we don't have time to listen. We're trying to communicate with all the people on the Facebook because one post can reach all the people, right? Instead of calling people up and really connecting and talking about what the Lord is doing in your heart, or clarifying a misunderstanding. Ugh, Lord, you're working on my heart so hard here today. Ugh, I don't know if anyone else is in the same boat as me, but the Lord is always saying, are you making time for me? Okay, Christians, we fight and we fight right. It is the enemy we are fighting, right? We are fighting to bring glory to God. We are fighting to show the world that Jesus is life-changing, and he can do things that we more than we can ask or think. And that means he can even help us resolve conflict in this divisive, divisive world. What God allows, he redeems, and I've already talked to you a little about that. We know that those who love God, all things work together for good. Right? It's a promise. It's a promise. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. Oh, friends, we are fighting the good fight. And I'm so glad you're here at Equip, getting a little bit of, you're like in the bunker right now, right? And then we're going to all go back out and do another charge on the enemy, on enemy ground. And you know, Jesus already tells us we're going to win, right? We're going to win. And so, friends, this is not, like I said, I hope you hear what it is. This is encouragement for me, because when I get, I hope you can see, the Lord is just always reminding me, how can you get up there, you hypocrite, and say these things when, oh, yes, Lord, I know, I'm working on it all too. So, friends, I'm working on it all too. But we're going to fight right, and we're going to keep fighting and encouraging one another to fight right. All right. Conflict is God-purposed. Again, we talked about that. Nobody wants to be in conflict, and there's a lot of ways we deal with it, but it is God's purpose. The conflict in your life right now, it's not a surprise to God. It's not beyond his power to work out for good. He allows conflict. He might even lead us into conflict. He might even do that we may know his love and trust his peace. Amen. Can I pray for us?